WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This warning for the U.S. from the military spokesperson for the Houthi rebels in Yemen who are backed by Iran. He says they will attack American ships in the Red Sea if the U.S. attacks Iran. In May, the U.S. and the Houthis agreed to a ceasefire. Several B-2 stealth bombers were headed to Guam today, according to two sources familiar with their movements. President Trump has been speaking to a lot of people, including MAGA podcaster Steve Bannon, whose sources tell ABC News has played an outsized role in the Iran-Israel crisis. Israel's military says it is preparing for the possibility of a lengthy war with Iran. After more than 3 months in federal custody, Columbia University graduate and activist Mahmoud Khalil has been released from an immigration detention facility in Louisiana, now back in New Jersey.
The fight is far from over. The genocide is still happening in Gaza.
This is ABC News. A hot air balloon fire and crash leaves 8 dead in Brazil. A skin cancer warning for people of color. Specialists promote the ABCDEs of melanoma, a potentially deadly type of skin cancer. 5 key characteristics. Dr. Janine Downey, a board-certified dermatologist.
People themselves need to know that these skin cancers are not just on the skin. They're under the nails. Wow. They can be in the genital area. Wow. They can be in unusual places. And so I tell my patients that it's really important that they come in and they get a look.
The 5 warning signs are available online. They include asymmetry, scalloped or unusual borders, and a mole that can be brown or black, sometimes with purple or blue in them. Suga, a rapper and songwriter in the global K-pop sensation BTS, has been discharged from South Korea's mandatory military service. That marks the official return of all 7 members from their enlistment duties. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike, you know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have
great.
Bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or
the
in the
players
field.
Are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. A new effort is helping Wisconsin farmers protect water quality in their communities. Judith Ruiz Branch has more.
A joint effort is helping Wisconsin farmers protect water quality in their communities by learning more about how to prevent manure and fertilizer spills and runoff. The Nutrient Management Farmer Education Program is a collaboration across 6 counties in northern Wisconsin with partners from the University of Wisconsin, technical colleges, and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. It helps farmers properly manage manure and fertilizer applications to optimize crop growth while protecting water sources. Athens dairy farmer Wayne Gajewski says one of the biggest benefits is the collaborative aspect where farmers learn as much from the instructors as they do from each other.
I think it's a win-win. It's good for farmers, it's good for the environment, and it's good for the public in general because farmers are trying to be as efficient as they can and without polluting or doing any harm to the environment.
State law requires farmers to develop and follow nutrient management plans to minimize their environmental impact. Gajewski says the training enables them to create these plans independently, reducing reliance on potentially costly external services. Kirk Langfoss is a conservation analyst with Marathon County. He says the grants allow them to offer incentives to farmers and help cover their tuition.
They can get up to $750 reimbursement on soil testing. They can get payments to do manure testing. They commit to between 8 and 12 hours a year when they come to the class, so it reimburses them for their time.
Agriculture spills have been prevalent across Wisconsin, with one reported last month in Monroe County. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Heat advisory in effect for today. Highs near 95 degrees. Heat index feels like 105. Southwest winds up to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, clear and breezy. We only drop to 78 degrees. Another hot one tomorrow, 95.
It's 89 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news headlines and also State Senator Kelda Royce. Will the Joint Finance Committee actually meet this week? She'll tell us. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Like a sledgehammer every Saturday. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, coming from my new bunker, I guess you would say.
Hey, man.
I'm in right now. You know. And no, it's not a bunker in Iran. So President Trump, don't target me. Okay.
Too soon, man. Let's hope not.
Lots going on. And by this time, if you're listening to the show on Saturday, who knows, that joke might not be funny. We don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, the verdict is out whether it was ever funny, Tim, but it was made. It's out there, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's out there. It's one of those things that are happening. Yeah. And aside right now, Johnny came in, Jacob and I were talking before the show started. If you know, been paying attention, escalations in the Middle East, talking about Israel's, you know, pretty precise bombing and targeting of high ranking military leaders in Iran. Iran now pushing back. And the big question here that may be answered by the time you're listening to it is what's America going to do? Will we get involved? And current President Trump right now is playing what they say 4D chess that he's so good at right now, and kind of, you know, putting forth a strategy of feigned indecision to kind of juke out and potentially keep people on the ropes. Jacob, is that how you would characterize the brilliance of strategy you're seeing going on?
Not at all, Tim. Best case scenario, I think we're somewhere in the realm of strategery. And worst case scenario, I don't want to even get into that. So I wouldn't say 4D chess. He can barely play, you know, three-dimensional checkers.
We'll see. We're reporting on it, but you know, it's Saturday. Love the show. Love spending 1 hour with everybody out there on Civic Media, especially everybody listening right now in their cars, you know, out there flipping hamburgers. You know, hopefully the rain is letting up all across Wisconsin. We know there's been a lot of rain. I could say right here in the new bunker in Pennsylvania, same thing. Right now, a canoe would come in handy if I needed to go out and get my mail right now. Because Johnny, it's really wet here in Pennsylvania. And I know Jacob said in Madison, all Wisconsin, too, getting a lot of rain. What about you out there, you know, on the, not that you're on the left coast, but you're in the state of Washington. How's the weather?
Yeah, do you get much rain in the Pacific Northwest?
I'm closest to the Pacific of anybody here, about 5 hours inland. It's dry. We're supposed to be getting some rain, probably somewhat affiliated. It's been a little more humid. Usually we're really dry, so probably tracks for big rainfall, like in all directions. But no, it's been sunny, been nice weather, you know, enjoying summer. School's out this week for both my kids. So, you know, we're enjoying the lakes, being outside, spending some time, you know, in some beautiful weather. It's supposed to cool off though, and it's supposed to rain. Go figure. I don't know whether that's blowing across the country or we're just due for a little bit of it, but it's unseasonably extra dry, which is worrisome. Fire country, right? Yeah. So it's not even July yet. Things are pretty dry.
Yeah, that worry is not actually happening here right now. You go past some of the state forests here around Pennsylvania, where I'm at, Western Pennsylvania. The, you know, Smokey Bear, what should you do right now? Smokey Bear is holding an umbrella. You know, he's like checking it out. You know, the other part though, too, just in case, you know, what's interesting, typically people are like, Tim, are you complaining about the rain? No, I actually really enjoy rain. What I'm not enjoying right now is that in my new location here in Pennsylvania, in the bunker, man cave, whatever you want to call it, the new house, we're here, my wife and I, Michelle, Mom Michelle, has been on the show a few times. We're in the house, and we've been here since Saturday, and our moving truck, which has all of our stuff in it, is delayed until maybe Friday, they're hoping, maybe Saturday, maybe Monday or Tuesday. So that will be 10 days without our moving truck. And what's on our moving truck? Lawnmower. And right now, the lawn, we're starting to look like where those neighbors, you know, I can see right now, everybody's looking out going, oh my God, we got people who don't cut the grass who've moved in. And we're trying to say we're not those neighbors. So, boy, talk about an aside. But, Johnny, you know, when you don't have a lawnmower and
Tim, man, you got to go talk to your neighbors. Just be like me, man. Got to get this lawn cut for everybody's good. And my lawnmower is delayed an extra couple of days, and you know, just reach out and start meeting those neighbors.
Yeah, we've had a couple actually. The next door neighbor was cutting the grass. Right now, Mom Michelle and I are in a little bit of a discussion as to how appropriate it would be to ask him to do it one more time. I think it's perfectly appropriate, and you know, bro,
you bring the universal neighborly gift.
What's your universal neighborly gift?
Man, the nectar of the gods, of course. Beer.
Nice cold six pack.
Always. I say, hey, man, what's your favorite beverage of choice?
Exactly.
I said, we got to have one soon, and then I come bearing, you know, a large quantity of it for his. Come on, this is outside of Pittsburgh. Yeah. I know he's got a garage fridge.
You know he's got a garage fridge.
You got a garage
fridge. I got
in the truck, so you're gonna stock it with his favorite beers, and you say, man, I'll keep you well hydrated through the summer. Just throw another quick round on my lawn for me.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about it too. Being back here, yeah, a little bit north of Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania. If I bring beer, I should bring Iron City or Icy Light, you know, that the beer of the 1970s Steelers, you know, the champions, the world famous, most awesome football dynasty of the time. The Mean Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Terry Bradshaw, you know, Dwight White, the Iron City beer can that when I was in fourth grade, we've talked about this on the show, We glued an ashtray to the top of that commemorative beer can, and that was our fundraiser in fourth grade, was to go around selling ashtrays.
Nice.
So Jacob, did you ever have to have a school fundraiser where you sold ashtrays?
No, Tim. I grew up slightly after the 70s, so some of the things had changed culturally speaking.
Yeah. You think about that. Well, you know, today, though, you could sell it as a candy dish.
Now the kids are selling vape pens to raise money for the school, I believe.
Oh, man, we don't want to go there. Okay, education. You guys are supposed to be talking about education. Well, Johnny, news has, you know, broke, and there's a little bit of discontent for anybody who's a Democrat going, what in the world is going on with the Democrats? I thought, you know, maybe today we could try to figure that out and actually use one an example kind of hot off the presses just happened this week. Great guest who's been on the show quite a few times, AFT President Randy Weingarten, prominent post in the Democratic National Committee for over 20 years, decided that she's out and she has walked away from the Democratic National Committee. No, she did not quit being a Democrat. She said, though, the leadership, and John, I'm going to just start with her quote. Her quote for her walking away in a letter to the leadership of the Democratic National Committee, quote, "I appear to be out of step with the leadership you are forging," the union leader said on this, "and I do not want to be the one who keeps questioning why we are not enlarging our tent and actively trying to engage more of our communities," end quote. And I take that as saying, why are we as Democrats being so focused on little kind of, you know, special interests instead of expanding out? I'm going to take this and we have the, you know, we have out a request to get Randy back on the show to talk about this. But I hear this critique as saying, you know what, Democrats, for the longest time, you've moved to be so exclusive in who you include in the Democrats that guess what? Now it has come a reckoning that catering and kowtowing to small, let's just talk about it, you know, the kind of wealthy billionaire uber ultra liberal left hasn't really worked out so well when it comes to winning elections. And if we're really going to talk about it here, let's get back to, and Johnny, see how you're going to take this, but you know, those blue collar scholars like Tim and Johnny, you know, the heart and soul of some of the Democrats, you know, how do we get them back? And in fact, you know, this comes after David Hogg. If you follow this, David Hogg was one of the survivors from the Parkland school shooting in Florida, who's kind of risen up there and became a member. He was also then kind of put out of the Democratic National Committee because he had the audacity to make a suggestion that some of the Democrats that are kind of languishing and doing nothing, maybe we should primary them. In other words, you know, kind of put some other people out there to say, hey, look, you're not doing your job. I'm here to kind of question you and maybe take you out. He put that out there, and the leadership of the traditional DMC was not happy about somebody inwardly saying, let's primary some of the, you know, the people that have been in power for a long time who maybe aren't doing anything. That's all that lead up. I know we're coming up on that first break, but you know, Johnny, you hear where I'm going with this?
I think so, Tim. I mean, you know, some people might talk about this as infighting amongst the Democrats. Remember, democracy is messy, and the Democrats are hopefully finding their democratic sense. Right. Not just as a party labeled the Democrats, but as champions of democracy. Have they strayed away from their game? You talked about dynasties and you referenced that great era of Pittsburgh Steeler football, you know, and as a Lions fan, I have to be like, yeah, it was a pretty good era. And then there were a few more eras after that. You know, it's a town of great success. Well, the Democrats have a legacy of being advocates and champions of democracy, but have strayed from that, especially in recent elections. And so I think, you know, figuring out is messy, but it sounds like that's what's happening.
We'll see. I don't know. What are we thinking about as we're coming in here? Democrats, are they just a mess? Are they falling apart? Or is this potential, what appears to maybe be falling apart, something that it could be a realignment for Democrats who might really come time to get their act together. Got a lot more of that discussion. Busted Pencils. More when we get back.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Sugar River Pizza and The John and Gorda Show have both been nominated for Madison Magazine's Best of Madison. Thanks for your vote. To celebrate, they're throwing Sugar River Pizza parties at workplaces around Madison all summer. If your workplace would like a Best of Madison pizza party with Sugar River Pizza and John and Gordy, get to WMDXradio.com and tell us why. If your office is selected, the party's on us.
Hey, vote for us and maybe we'll give you an extra slice of pizza.
Maybe.
Or maybe a breadstick.
Vote for us.
Go to WMDXradio.com for all the details.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, talking Democrats, democracy, AFT, Randy Weingarten. Commenting on this is an article coming out of Politico. Teachers Union President Randy Weingarten resigns from DNC, Democratic National Committee. The question here is that, you know, she's had such a prominent role in the leadership of the Democratic National Committee. People are asking questions. What's happening internally? You know, is this a good thing, or is this kind of a signal of continued chaos and fracturing of a Democratic Party that can't seem to get its marching direction going in a way that could potentially show that we're not just kind of sitting around twiddling our thumbs, letting the country, you know, disintegrate under the current leadership? I don't know, but Johnny, what I like here is that, again, back, you know, the show, we're talking about education, public education. To see the president of AFT, a teacher, showing, to me, this is showing teachers particularly who she's representing, not just teachers too, but all of the service workers, the nurses that are there. But there's a leadership here from a teacher saying, you know what? At this moment, where things are going, I'm stepping aside. I'm showing leadership because I feel that democracy is better served and the Democratic Party is better served when we create a bigger tent and we're more inclusive of potentially points of view that might rub up against, quote, you know, some kind of traditional or not traditional, but the litmus tests of kind of where ultra left Democrats have kind of gone, where it's like, you know, if you're not 100% in agreement with every single thing that I believe in, then you can't be a Democrat. And I see the leadership that Randy's putting forward here is kind of saying, like, you know what? In a democracy, to get work done, to benefit the most, to benefit the common, we need to include voices. We need to include voices. Because, Johnny, you're always talking about, you know, what does it mean to live in a democracy? What are the foundations of a democracy? And that's including voices, lots of voices. So I see this as a really great example for all of the teachers out there to say, you know what, here's one of our union leaders showing real leadership in a democracy and what it means to do that. That's kind of my initial thought right now, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, absolutely, Tim. I mean, a lot of us, you know, lifetime card-carrying Democrats, and yeah, I'll align myself there, have been rather displeased in recent years. And I think about, you know, growing up, learning about the values of the Democratic platform and the Democratic Party, right, was the promotion of social programs. We've been talking about it on this show. You know, Jacob said, hey, isn't that communism? It's absolutely not, right? He showed us and we teased out the importance of like social programs. But social programs, aka sometimes referred to around the world as part of a socialist democracy. But the Democratic Party has been, you know, stalwarts of championing social programs, whether that's, you know, access to food or social welfare, you know, the well-being of all of the people in our communities. They've also championed labor unions. So I was proud as a card-carrying, not only a card-carrying Democrat, but as a card-carrying teacher, right, part of the AFT, to see the president of a labor union who does so much work to represent the hard labor of not only teachers, but of people on the front lines of doing democracy work in our communities, but nurses and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The AFT and all the hardworking union members of this country. So, you know, we think about the Democratic Party as being promoters of social programs, of labor unions, of consumer protections, right? We're in this downturned economy where everything's more and more expensive. And it seems like, you know, recent legislation on both sides of the aisle have not thought about us, the consumers, right? And it's been more about deregulation than regulation. The Democratic Party also, as a laborer, have been champions in history of workplace safety regulations, right? I think about that as a teacher. I mean, there's not a teacher out there who's not concerned about their safety and the safety of children in our communities. Now, so workplace safety, I usually think OSHA, right?
Right.
Think about, you know, I had to make sure we always had two people if we were lifting something heavier than a certain number of pounds, or that I used a ladder properly, or, you know, if I was using certain power tools, that I had safety training in that, and the protective ear protection and, you know, eye protection. But workplace safety, you know, that's just about everything. That's making sure our airports are safe, our hospitals are safe, and our schools, right? So Democrats, hey, you know, think about that. For decades and decades, you've been champions of workplace safety, but yet schools have never been more unsafe. They're also champions of equal opportunity, disability rights, and racial equity. I mean, come on, Tim, like we, both you and I, even though we're older, we were products of a civil rights movement. And this is the largest social uprising of all of our lifetime, you know, built on the shoulders of that amazing civil rights movement. It's still going. We think about like Black Lives Matter today, climate change activism, disability rights, you know, queer activists around our country, young people speaking out about gun violence. But we have all of these commitments to equal opportunity, disability rights, racial equity, and regulation against environmental pollution. And the last one I'll end on is Democrats have long been known as champions for the justice system. All that's broken. So I was proud to see our union president say, this isn't working for me right now.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This warning for the U.S. from the military spokesperson for the Houthi rebels in Yemen who are backed by Iran. He says they will attack American ships in the Red Sea if the U.S. attacks Iran. In May, the U.S. and the Houthis agreed to a ceasefire. Several B-2 stealth bombers were headed to Guam today, according to two sources familiar with their movements. President Trump has been speaking to a lot of people, including MAGA podcaster Steve Bannon, whose sources tell ABC News has played an outsized role in the Iran-Israel crisis. Israel's military says it is preparing for the possibility of a lengthy war with Iran. After more than 3 months in federal custody, Columbia University graduate and activist Mahmoud Khalil has been released from an immigration detention facility in Louisiana, now back in New Jersey.
The fight is far from over. The genocide is still happening in Gaza.
This is ABC News.
The crew crushed the Twins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers in Minnesota this weekend for a series against the Twins. We'll have a recap of today's game coming up tonight. Last night, the Brewers jumped out to a 12-0 lead. They went on to win by a final score of 17-6. Christian Yelich set a franchise record, knocking in 8 runs batted in. And 23-year-old pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, in only his second start, had a no-hitter for the crew going into the 7th. Manager Pat Murphy says the kid talked him into going back out there one last thing before he gave up that 2-run homer in the 7th.
Absolutely. He was adamant. He wanted to go out for 7 ups. I want to challenge myself. Yes, I'm getting towards the end, but I want to challenge myself. And it was a good time to have him do that.
Did you tell him in advance he'd have a short leash going back out?
Yeah.
So in his first 2 starts, Mizorowski did not allow a single hit through the first 11 innings of his career, the first pitcher to do so in 125 years of professional baseball. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Believe it or not, Hollywood is making a sequel. In this case, it is the 4th in a series of Meet the Parents films. The Hollywood Reporter says Owen Wilson has officially signed on to the project, joining Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, and newcomer to the cast, Ariana Grande. It's always nice to have a fresh face. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with Universal for the latest installment, which is co-written by John Hamburg, who also co-wrote the previous 3 films and will direct this new chapter. If you listen to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you've probably heard me talk about this franchise quite a bit, as it was started by frequent guest and writer Greg Liana, whose $50,000 independent film ended up at Universal Studios and is now one of the highest-grossing live-action comedy franchises ever. Meet the Parents is expected to hit theaters Thanksgiving of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Heat advisory in effect for today. Highs near 95 degrees. Heat index feels like 105. Southwest winds up to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, clear and breezy. We only drop to 78 degrees. Another hot one tomorrow, 95.
Currently 91 degrees.
The John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike, you know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have
great.
Bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or
the
in the
players
field.
Are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do. Play.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Abby Abramovich from Dundrin's Distilling.
And don't forget to join the John and Gordy Zip Tie Brigade.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah, you know when you hear that heavy drum beat. Yeah, that's Tim, Johnny, and Jacob. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. Man, half the show gone already. I don't know how do we do it? Democrats, Randy Weingarten, favorite, famous guest of Busted Pencils. Not on right now. We have the invitation out to her, though. But, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, for 20 years, she has been a prominent leader within the Democratic National Committee. And this week she stepped away. And in her letter to the chair, there was comments of pointing to the fact that she feels that the party isn't headed in a more inclusive, bigger tent direction. And right now, that kind of work really isn't for her to I read that as, you know, we as Democrats need to expand and invite and include more of the population, the people, our neighbors, the voters. We need to get them, you know, back to the party. How many disenfranchised Democrats are out there? And, you know, how many Democrats, particularly in, you know, the traditional blue collar, let's just say, Johnny, you know, your hometown, Detroit, my hometown, Pittsburgh, you know, used to be incredibly, absolutely 100%, you know, blue collar, blue Democrats. And now you look at particularly Pittsburgh here, right? And, you know, a lot of, quote, traditional Democrats, and I will say a good portion of my extended family who were Democrats in the last 20 years have either become a non-participant politically and civically, or have totally moved on, you know, some genetic flaw that is from some other part of the lineage, not the Slecker lineage, I would assume, but have fallen victim to the MAGA movement. And, you know, you're looking at that and you go, how does a traditional blue collar, you know, blue Democrat find themselves, you know, advocating at Thanksgiving that I'm some kind of crazy Marxist leftist liberal, and that's why they're now a MAGA person? And we can dismiss my crazy cousins and my crazy uncle, or maybe we need to ask a question. Why did they leave the party? Jacob, I see you're pulling up the mic there. What do you say I say to my cousins and my uncles?
I think that I struggle with this myself, having a lot of family members who seem to have really gone full in on the MAGA train, and it doesn't always make sense to me. I have a hard time breaking down what exactly it is, but I think that you can't dismiss it, Tim. I think we can't dismiss it because there have always been those generational divides where your crazy uncle, he's older, he's more conservative. That's always been the case. But back in 1992 and 1996 and 2008 and 2012, we all had crazy uncles, but Democrats were winning. They're winning elections. So when the population is turning against the party, you can't ignore it. And I think populists are great at pointing out problems. They find things that make people upset. They have terrible answers. I think the obligation and the responsibility of the reasonable people in society, a little bit closer to me, I think, politically speaking, we have an obligation to meet people where they are and to find good solutions to the problems that they're telling us they have. We can't sit here and tell people, no, those problems don't exist, or no, you're wrong about your problems. We need to come up with better solutions.
Yeah, or your problem isn't nearly as bad as the problem that I'm championing right at this moment.
Yeah.
And I know the problem I'm championing right now is not popular with all of your neighbors and your crazy uncles, but it's what I stand for, and I'm not going to include anybody who doesn't understand how passionate I am about my one issue.
And I think the better way to bring people over to your one issue is that when you show that you care about what they're telling you is impacting them, then that is going to make them more inclined to come over and care about what you care about. You got to show that you care about the mass of the voters first, and then you bring them along to your more difficult to understand problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see this again, back to Randy Weingarten. I mean, she's representing teachers, right? And where are teachers politically? What is their party? And I got to say that I know quite a few teachers who maybe aren't full MAGA, but are potentially maybe more along the lines of going like, I'm not real happy with where the Democrats are going and feeling themselves excluded. Johnny, I don't know if you know, your interactions with the teachers that you're working with, if you're hearing some discontent with the Democratic Party from teachers, because I am.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we talked about it before when I talked about the core values or principles of the Democratic Party and, you know, things they had been championing and, you know, continued to promise but not deliver. I think by and large, teachers are a little bit fed up with the funding of their schools, the increased emphasis on test scores, not on student achievement, because find me a good teacher that doesn't want students learning important things.
Right.
They don't exist. All right. But the overemphasis on a numerical score as a measure of whether or not a young person is growing and developing, you know, is, like you pointed out a number of times, Tim, not only narrow sighted, but it's detrimental, you know, to our future communities, to our strong democracy. So, you know, that compounded with the school shootings. I hate to be the guy who's bringing the most dramatic hyperbolic stuff into the arena here, but it's true. I mean, Tim, we got to be teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easier to be a teacher when we were teachers. Necessarily the job of teaching, but I can't remember a single day of the first years of my teaching where I really thought deep down in my heart that we could have a school shooting in my school.
Absolutely.
We'd had Columbine, and we had a few kind of outlier instances of this. And it seemed as though it was being discussed as handled. Mm-hmm. This would not become a mainstay and a regular fear for young people and for teachers. And nowadays, Tim, it's, you know, one every day, every teacher I talk to has it listed as a concern that's on their minds, on top of the many other things. Add into that, you know, currently immigration stuff, which is more closely linked to the recent administration. So I won't wholeheartedly point my finger at the Democratic Party on this. But, you know, work conditions for teachers are not great.
Mm-mm.
Right. And so they are in a state of discontent with any political party's efforts to supporting children in schools. Right.
Yeah.
It's like you got to ask the question that one of our inspirations back in the day, Tim, and I think he's still going at it, but Jonathan Kozo, right, when we were becoming, I'm being nostalgic today, but, you know, when Tim and I were teachers, we weren't worried about school shootings every day, but we certainly had students who experienced poverty and unequal funding and tough lives. And there was a champion of those stories in our world of education, Jonathan Kozo. And he would regularly say, you know, do you like children? Do you like more than just your own children? Mm-hmm. You really care about children. Because if you care about children, especially children in this country, well, you would be doing things as a government very differently.
Yes.
In terms of, you would be making sure that their well-being is cared for, that they had access to, you know, healthcare, to good pediatricians, to dental, you know, hygiene, like dentists around schools and all those kinds of welfare programs. Yeah, I said it, welfare. It's not a pejorative, right? But it became such in our lifetimes, Tim. And so I think about that. Do you care about children? I've yet to find a good teacher who at their core doesn't care about children. Right. Every great teacher out there, and there are lots of them, they glow with care for children. They genuinely advocate for children's well-being. They teach children with all of their heart and energy, and they care about children. They care about this country. They are true patriots and defenders of democracy, yet they are constantly beat down by both Republicans and Democrats who have failed to not only fund the schools, the workplaces that they're in, but at a core fundamental level, acknowledge that children ought not to be suffering when we can do more in our schools. So now I sound like I'm on a soapbox.
There he goes.
Channeling that inspiration that, you know, one of my heroes, Jonathan Kozol, would say over and over again, if you care about children, then actually do something that helps them. And I'm not talking to teachers out there. They're doing it every day. Yeah.
Every single day.
I'm not talking about parents. I assume parents are doing that by and large every day to the best of their capacities. But what I am talking about are the decision makers, the legislators, the administrations, the government who fail decade after decade to care about kids. It's that simple. So I was proud of our union president, Tim, when she said, this doesn't seem to be a good representation of not only teachers, but of the work that I've come to represent in my career and on my political stage. I can't co-sign on hurting children. She didn't say exactly, but she's come on this show and said, you know, what we have to get past, him on both sides of the aisle, is putting kids in the line of fire and making classrooms in this country a battlefield, a battleground. And that is where we're at, and teachers feel it. And by and large, I was just as proud as I could be. Here, she said, not me, not as part of this group. We can do better. And by golly, we're gonna.
Yeah, we got it. And that's it. We got to do better. And, you know, this just drives into me, Johnny, you talk about that too. The P word, poverty, income inequality, those things right there. You know, you talk about that as an inclusive message of more, and Jacob, maybe, you know, your family members, my family members, you know, one of the things that, you know, they're united in, things aren't going well right now economically. It's hard to make it, you know, wherever you're from, and Democrats have been horrible at actually advocating, and for me, this is me talking, not Randy Weingart or anybody, but the Democratic Party has become its own party of rich people who just happen to have left proclivities, but they're still just wealthy people. And Democrats, the current leadership that I see out there right now, who are continuing to lose elections, is that the party continues to be beholden to the billionaire Democrat class of funders. And now I'm going to go back and go, and you know what? Bernie has always been right on this issue.
Oh,
always been right on this issue. You know, are the Democrats going to actually recognize the reality that the majority of our neighbors are feeling and facing? Hey, I don't know, but we got one more little time, you know, after this commercial break. See what Johnny and I can make out of this. Maybe even Jacob, too.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah, it's that time. It's the Busted Pencils dancing moments, you know, a time when you like to get up and, well, not me, because you do not want to see me get up and dance. Anybody remember the Seinfeld, the Elaine dance? Mine is worse than Elaine, so let's make sure that this isn't seen. Oh, Democrats, what are you gonna do? We're saying right now Randy Weingarten stepped away from the leadership in the Democratic National Committee. No, she did not quit being a Democrat, but she took herself out of the current leadership of the Democratic Party that I think rightfully can be said and criticized for going in a direction that is not helping democracy. I'm going to put it out that way, Johnny. Democrats are not helping democracy, and you're not going to win elections when you're not helping democracy, because my neighbor knows that. They understand that. They recognize that. And, you know, if we're going to, you know, represent and be champions of democracy, then being more and more insular and very, very protective to, you know, party purity you're not going to win elections. And part of living in a democracy and being able then to have some sense of putting your words and your efforts into the part of being in a democracy, which is being in a representative government and electing those people, you got to win so that we can advocate and have people who are putting forth policy issues that change the narrative for people who are feeling disenfranchised, on the out, not represented, not a part of, you know. And so this is what I see from my, you know, my limited point of view here, as I say, from the Pennsylvania bunker. Democrats, you know, you're on the ropes, and maybe you ought to stop blaming Trump for you being on the ropes and start realizing that maybe you're to blame for the fact that you're on the ropes, not because of current President Trump. I don't know. That's how I'm thinking about it, Johnny.
Well, yeah, Tim, I mean, this goes back a ways. This is not new. You know, you brought it up earlier in the broadcast today. You talked about Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. And you look at, you know, the way that issues that matter to people, by and large, are underrepresented at the highest level. Mm-hmm. We learned that early in those primaries years and years ago, not even focusing on the current crisis this country is in, but dating back to, you know, that time where there was a large support politically in this country in a populist way of saying, hey, we need to change things. We need to get back to, you know, strengthening the middle class, to addressing and eliminating poverty. Mm-hmm. We need to get really close to strengthening our local economies. We need to be more proactive about the environment's health. We need to, you know, be advocates of education for everyone and for healthcare. Some of the like the signatory aspects of, and I hate this language, but of a developed country, right? It's that simple. So you know, I go back to that thinking, I'm excited not for the crisis that we're in, but for the conversations that are happening. Mm-hmm. At even that high level, right, of the Democrat Party saying, hey, we might be, and people are reporting that they're infighting. It's not infighting. It's figuring out their identity. It's doing some deep self-evaluation of who do we represent? What do we stand for? And what are we doing about it? Mm-hmm. Who do we represent? What do we stand for? And what are we doing about it? Mm-hmm. So if those three things are part of the conversation, I'm excited about it, Tim, and I think it will generate really awesome things for this country. Remember, I'm an optimist, so I'll kind of wrap. That's my wrap up today.
Man, I love that. Johnny being, yeah, actually, you're always the optimist. That doesn't mean Tim's the pessimist. I just sometimes like to keep it real, but I am too, Johnny. I'm very optimistic here for the fact that maybe the somebody like a Randy Weingarten, that message will be heard. I'm hoping, I'm optimistic about this being hopefully something where the Democrats themselves can go, whoa, we really need to figure this out and dig deep. And now it's time for your moment of zen. Patriotism doesn't mean support of government. Patriotism means support of the principles it's supposed to stand for.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you're having a great weekend. This is Busted Pencils broadcast today. And remember, you could grab lots of great podcasts chocked full of more fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website or at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't be late for homeroom on Monday, and make sure that you catch next week's class in session on Wednesday. And you can always find us on Friday for Jacob's producer's choice. And of course, you can catch us like today, Busted Pencils, 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media network stations. For 1 hour of your favorite, a Blue Collar Scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
Is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. This warning for the U.S. from the military spokesperson for the Houthi rebels in Yemen, who are backed by Iran. He says they will attack American ships in the Red Sea if the U.S. attacks Iran. The U.S. and the Houthis agreed to a ceasefire just last month. Hundreds of stranded Israelis evacuated to Cyprus, boarded a cruise ship today for home, an estimated 1,500, mostly young people from all over the world who were in Israel to connect with their Jewish heritage.
You see so many people looking any way to go back home. I think that this is part of who we are. We're not running away.
After more than 3 months in federal custody, Columbia University grad student and activist Mahmoud Khalil has been released from an immigration detention facility in Louisiana and is now in New Jersey, speaking today in Newark.
Even if they would kill me, I would still speak up for Palestine.
Millions in the U.S. under heat alerts or warnings. This is ABC News.